You're listening to the All About Symbian podcast. With me, Ewan Spence, and as always, www.allaboutsymbian.com so you can leave your comments on the news poster. Joining us now today on the All About Symbian podcast to talk about the latest developments in the mobile sphere, and it's time at CES in Las Vegas. It's the webmaster of the site, Mr. Rafe Blanford. Hi, Rafe.
Hi, Ewan. Good to speak to you.
Again, yes. Now you're back from a lovely Las Vegas, and I'm here in windswept Scotland. You've had a week to recover. You young ones, I don't know. How was CES?
Well, CES was certainly an interesting experience. It was my first time there, and people think about it as the big gadget show, and it really is enormous. Well, it's important to realise that the mobile phone element of it, or the Nokia element of it, is only a couple of stands. And then if you include all the other mobile phone manufacturers, it's maybe 30 or 40 stands. But if you go and look at the more general gadget stands, it's the size of maybe 20 football fields or even bigger. And there's 150,000 people visiting, so it's an enormous show. And Las Vegas in itself is an experience.
So if we look at the size of something like the Symbian smartphone show, or the Symbian Expo, or whatever they're going to call it this year, how does the size of that compare to the size of the mobile phone contingent at CES?
Well, I think it would be accurate to say it's probably several tens of times bigger at the very least.
Bigger at CES, yeah?
Oh, much bigger at CES, yes. Even something like the Nokia had two stands this year, their Nokia multimedia tent and the Nokia mobile phone stand. And together, those would probably be about a quarter to a third of the size of the entire Symbian smartphone show.
Okay, so what do these companies get out of CES? Obviously, there's lots of press releases come out, and well, you swung it off at Las Vegas. Steve and I have to stay at the site and write up all the press releases. Not that that's ever going to happen again this year. Barcelona 3GSM. But what benefit do the manufacturers get?
Well, for them, it's a place to all get together and have their meetings to discuss alliances, but it's also a place to show off all their products to the world, and you'll see people from the television networks, from online media, from magazines, from regional newspapers, all looking at the latest gadgets or consumer electronics. And so it's one place where everybody can meet at the same time to show everything off for 2007.
So the big thing that Nokia were showing off this year was what?
And Nokia were launching the Nokia N76 and the Nokia N93i, both of which were S60 smartphones. They're also launching the Nokia N800 internet tablet. It's also important to realise they were using it as an opportunity to demonstrate some of their other handsets to people who won't have necessarily seen them before. For example, the N95 was attracting a lot of attention.
Because obviously there's a huge news in the mobile sphere about certain devices and what they can or can't do in 5 years ahead of everybody else. But we'll come to that in a second. Talk about those Nokia devices, because obviously, although we always look at the high-end gadgets like the N93 and the N95 as the big ones, it's ones like the 76 that are more the bread and butter of the Nokia smartphones.
Oh, absolutely. Although it's important to realise that the N76 is still a relatively high-end product. I mean, it's an N-series device, it's a multimedia computer, but Nokia had something of a departure from their N-series, and they described it as the computer done beautifully, and this reflected the fact that the design of the N76 was style first, with features perhaps coming in secondary. The N76 is a razor-style flip phone that's pretty thin. I think it's about 19mm, something like that. No, sorry, 15mm. It's got a 2-megapixel camera, QVGA screen. It will come in both 3G and non-3G variants and runs on S60 third edition feature pack 1, which is the latest version of the software. By contrast, the N93i is an updated version or a variant on the N93, which is Nokia's video smartphone. It's considerably slimmed down and has a metallic and a mirror finish to it. But there's also some subtle changes in the software, including the camera algorithms and some additional software features, such as the ability to upload to a Vox blog.
Okay, now, the one thing that always strikes me, especially at CES, is it being in America, is the huge difference in the American phone market compared to the European phone market, especially Nokia's place. Where we look at Europe, Nokia is seen as the sort of smartphone, the innovator, the sort of A-class, high-class brand, where in America, it's regarded almost as a pay-as-you-go sort of level of mid- to low-range consumer phone.
That's very true. Nokia do have a different reputation in the States, and it's been... fair to say that in recent years, the Americas have been something behind Europe in some of the smartphone uptake, particularly from the Nokia angle, although it is worth realising that today it's more a case of the American market being different than it necessarily being behind. There are some pretty advanced devices out there, and the EVGO data networks mean they actually have some very fast mobile data. However, it is very true to say that Nokia haven't enjoyed the success in the States that they've enjoyed in Europe, and it does have success more in the lower end with, as you say, the pay-as-you-go phones. So it's very interesting to see some of the reactions at CES. You tend to see a lot of Windows Mobile, Palm and BlackBerry devices, which is a very different contrast to the European-based shows, where you tend to see far more Nokia and Sony Ericsson devices. If you talk to people, they tend to be a little bit dismissive of the Sony Ericsson and Nokia devices, regarding them as just phones, and so there's definitely a user education issue for Nokia.
Now, the other news to come out of CES, it's partly to do with what we've just discussed, Derek. It wasn't a CES at all. It was Steve Jobs pre-announcing the Apple phone for an estimated early Q3 delivery. Now, is it because the American market is so radically different to Europe and the Far East that the iPhone seems to have become the darling in the American media?
I don't think it's necessarily to do with the American market in particular. I think it's more to do with the marketing ability of Apple and the ability of Steve Jobs to deliver a marketing message. However, it's true to say, certainly at CES, there did seem to be something of an effect around the iPhone where people were bowled over by technology. It very clearly became obvious that there wasn't actually anything particularly innovative outside of some of the multi-touch, and certainly that's an area that's been explored in other places in technology, and things like the visual voicemail were also talked about a lot, but again, aren't particularly innovative, have been done before. So I think it's perhaps more down to the sort of halo of that surrounds the Apple brand that created a very positive iPhone launch, rather than it being particularly in the American market. It'll be interesting to see when reality sets in, if people still hold that same opinion.
So it takes about 6 months for a mobile phone to go through the American regulatory clearance. So this is obviously Apple announcing as late as possible while still being in control of the press message. Nokia, Sony Ericsson, the rest of the companies aren't going to be able to get any new devices in the market. They're going to have to run with what they've got. How do you think they're going to react to Apple?
I don't think it's really going to be a case of them reacting to Apple. I think it's a case of Apple reacting to Nokia and Sony Ericsson. Apple are quite well aware that people are starting to switch away from standalone MP3 players to start using their phones, and Sony Ericsson and Nokia have the best models on the market for that sort of thing, perhaps with the likes of Samsung and Motorola also thrown in. So it shouldn't really be seen as a case of manufacturers reacting to Apple. It should be Apple reacting to the manufacturers.
You said should, but do you think that they're just going to just put their head in the sand and ignore Apple?
I don't think they're going to ignore Apple. What I was going to say is what may happen is there'll be a renewed emphasis on the user experience. The experience on phones had been bad before, and Harry was reinventing it. I think that's an oversimplification and honestly a stretch on his part. However, it might enliven some of the existing manufacturers to new possibilities. However, in all of this, we should realise that these manufacturers spend a lot of money on user experience and usability testing, and there's a very good reason they do things in certain ways. And so it isn't necessarily going to bring the revolution that people think it will.
And finally, Jobs committed Apple to selling 10 million of these units by the end of 2008. So something in the region of 18 months in the American market and maybe around 12 or 13 months in the European market. The sales figures for Nokia smartphones are only about 100 million. The sales units for Blackberries, I think, in America is only about 5.5 million in total. Do you think that 10 million is a valid number coming from him?
I think that's very unlikely. I would say that it's actually Symbian smartphones that have just gone past 100 million, and Nokia probably expect to sell 60 to 70 million devices in 2007. I don't think Apple will sell 10 million because I don't think they have a mass market product. There are too many things that are wrong with it in terms of using as a phone. Not having hardware keys is a very obvious point. I do not doubt that they will produce an exemplary media device in terms of playing back music and video, but how good the integration will be with the phone, and more importantly, how reliable it will be as a phone device, and I'm talking about things like call quality and drop calls here, because Apple don't have the same experience level as someone like Nokia do in that area. But moreover, the price point, which I think has been set at something like $500 on a two-year contract, which means we're talking upwards of $800, $900 unsubsidized, which translates to about £500 or £600 in the UK market, means that people aren't going to buy this device simply because they'll be price-conscious and price-sensitive. We look at something like the Nokia N95, which has a superior specification and will probably be more stable in terms of using as a phone, then you'll have a price point that's going to undercut that by as much as £200 or up to a third. And I honestly find it very difficult to believe that Apple will sell 10 million devices. I think a more accurate estimate would be in the region of 4 to 5 million.
Which, strangely enough, is about the combined sales number of the Nokia N-Gage and N-Gage QD, the great failure from Nokia.
Yes, well, I think Nokia perhaps has some more work to do on N-Gage, and we'll be seeing more of that later in the year.
I just love the idea that the failed N-Gage phone is going to be the shining, you know, market line for the iPhone. Almost finished. I almost out of time to keep this under the megabyte limit, but the European manufacturers and the Far East manufacturers and everybody else are going to get a chance to land a counterpunch on Apple at the upcoming 3G SM conference in February over in Barcelona. Do you think they're going to be able to land a punch?
I don't think they'll be doing a direct response, but I do expect quite a lot of activity at 3GSM from both Nokia and Sony Ericsson, and certainly some of those devices will be competing in the same area. I think we can particularly expect to see things from Sony Ericsson, whereas I think Nokia may be more concentrated in the sort of enterprise and mobile phone space at 3GSM.
And, of course, we also have all the second-tier level of Symbian OS partners such as Motorola and Samsung who are on board now as well, who may well also have other announcements.
We may also see ODM announcements around Symbian devices from Far East manufacturers who are producing devices directly for the operators like Vodafone and Orange based off Freescale's reference design platform. And in some ways that's more interesting than something like an iPhone because it's more mass market, and mass market means more numbers, which generally means more money. And while Apple will undoubtedly carve out a niche for themselves in the high end compared to the mass numbers that Symbian's long-term strategy has always been to fulfill and is starting to happen in the latter half of 2006, and I think will probably be their message for 2007 as they push towards 100 million phones in a 12-month period, which I would expect to happen from Q3 2007 through to Q3 2008.
And, of course, All About Symbian will be at 3GSM, won't you, Rafe?
Yes, indeed. I'll be at 3GSM running around like a headless chicken trying to get round everything as much as possible. If anyone wants something specific covered, I'll be doing my best to do that, so please send any requests in.
That's lovely, and of course you can do that to info@allaboutsymbian.com. And as always, you can leave your comments on the podcast over in the forum at www.allaboutsymbian.com. I think that about covers it all, Rafe, doesn't it?
Apart from the fact they really need to be sending it to Rafe at allaboutsymbian.com.
He wants it personally. Oh, lovely, bless him. Rafe, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Okay, thanks, Ewan.
And we will catch you on the next All About Symbian podcast. Don't forget also allaboutsymbian.com/media. You'll also pick up the video podcast as well. Until the next time, have a safe one. You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast. www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2006.